Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hall.
And I'm Dorothy. And today, you're going to tell us about the Baltimore ransomware attack?
Yeah, this is involving the NSA, their hacking tool called Eternal Blue. And then it's going to cost them about $18.2 million to fix all of this. So this is a pretty big deal because it's not just a few systems that got hacked into, or well, I should say, it's not just a few systems that were affected by the ransomware. It's a lot of systems. And it's going to cost them about $18.2 million to fix this, probably more than that, because that's just the estimate for now.
So what happened?
Yeah, so let's get into this. We're not entirely sure what happened in this particular situation. And the reason for that is that it's really hard to figure out sometimes how hackers get in, what they did. All we know for sure is that they hacked in and that they used ransomware to try to get money from the city of Baltimore. That's all we really know for sure. But there are some things that they're talking about that I find kind of interesting. On May 7, the city of Baltimore was hit with ransomware. They took some city servers or systems offline to prevent the ransomware from spreading, which is a good thing because you don't want all your systems to all of a sudden be affected by ransomware. So when something like this happens, you want to isolate certain systems, you know, shut off network equipment, servers, workstations, you know, get them offline so that they don't get affected. And then you can take care of the ones that are having issues.
So what was affected?
So let's take a look at this. We have some voicemail systems got affected. Email was affected. Some systems used to pay water bills and property taxes got affected. And there's a few others in there as well. But it's a lot of systems because we're talking about an entire city's, you know, services. We really don't know how widespread this is because I don't know if there's any actual numbers of, you know, 200 or 300 servers, X number of workstations. We really don't know for sure.
So on your last episode, you were talking about targets. And then, so the targets here were voicemail, email, and systems to pay water bills and property taxes. But what did the hackers want? What were they getting out of this?
Well, in this particular case, it's ransomware. So it's not like they were targeting specific systems. This is just how they got, you know, they got in and these were the systems they had access to. And that's where the ransomware ended up.
Oh, okay. So basically they wanted money or whatever.
Correct. We'll get to that in a minute here. So what do the hackers really want, like you're saying?
Yeah.
They came out and said that the city could get their files back if they paid them roughly $24,000. And they really wanted like 3 Bitcoin, which came out to about $24,000, depending on when you're going to buy your Bitcoin. You know, for a city could pay that, but they chose not to. And a lot of times people are saying, don't bother paying that because you're not ever sure if you're going to get your files back. You may pay that and then...
Or if you make a habit of paying, they're going to continue to do it.
And that's the other thinking too, yeah, is that they're going to continue to do those kinds of things. So the ransomware that was used in this particular situation was something called the Robinhood ransomware. I haven't looked into this at all, so I don't know a whole lot about the Robinhood ransomware other than it was used in this particular case to encrypt the files so that the hackers could ask for money, in this case, $24,000. Now, there are some other interesting things here. As I said, the city says it will cost them about $18.2 million to fix all of the systems that were infected by the ransomware. And there may be others that they're not sure if the ransomware is on there or not. So they're probably going to want to do something about those systems as well, because if you're not entirely sure, you're just going to have to go in there and fix them anyway.
You know, I got a question. Eternal Blue, wasn't this involved in some other hack a while back?
So this is something that was developed by the NSA, and it's right, one of their exploit tools. So it takes advantage of an exploit. So now the question is, what is Eternal Blue? Because the city of Baltimore is making a claim that Eternal Blue was used to hack into their systems. And then once the systems were hacked into, the Robinhood ransomware was introduced.
Okay.
Now, we're going to get into some of the details here in a minute, but let's talk about what Eternal Blue actually is. It's an exploit developed by the NSA, takes advantage of a flaw in the Microsoft SMB protocol.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there was something in the past.
Yes, there was. But let's go down the list here. This flaw can be referenced by CVE 2017-0144. So this is the Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures database, kind of. It's the way in which you track...
the feds have it and they...
Well, this is how you track exploits. So when you want to talk about, let's say, for example, Patch Tuesday and the kinds of things they're patching, the vulnerabilities that they have that Microsoft or other organizations are trying to fix, you reference the vulnerability by the CVE number.
Okay.
So if the vulnerability is known, they're going to assign a CVE number so that you can track that. Now, the way the CVE numbers work is that you have CVE, the year it was discovered, and then a tracking number. So okay. In this case, it was discovered in 2017, and they gave it the number 0144. So there's a lot going on here, but let's summarize. The hackers use, or supposedly they used, Eternal Blue. The NSA says, Eternal Blue is not part of this. But how do you know that it's not? How do you prove that it is? It's kind of hard because it's not like you're going to see, Eternal Blue, I'm here. It doesn't work that way. So there's no real way for the NSA to say it wasn't part of the hack. And we don't know that it was part of the hack because we don't have any evidence that shows that. So there's a lot of this story that we're not really too sure about, but this is kind of how they're saying it happened. The hackers use Eternal Blue to take advantage of that CVE 2017-0144 vulnerability in Microsoft's SMB protocol. That's how they get in. Then they introduce the Robinhood ransomware and start encrypting files on different systems, email systems, voicemail, systems to pay bills. Those are now affected. Now, nobody can use those systems because all the files on those systems are encrypted.
But they had them backed up, right?
Well, that's another question. So let me ask you this. It's 2019. This happened in May 7. So the vulnerability is from 2017. What's the first thing you're going to think about?
How long have they been in there?
Well, not how long have they been in there, but...
When did they go in?
Not about the hackers, but about what the administrators are doing with their systems. Remember, this is a vulnerability from 2017.
Right.
So what would have fixed this problem?
A patch.
So the very first thing that comes to my mind is, where was their patching process? Why was this particular system vulnerable to an exploit or a vulnerability from 2017? Remember, we were talking about our patch process, and I said that the industry standard is not to have a patch out there that's not installed, that's older than 90 days.
But could it be that even though they patched it, there was still some vulnerability left, or it doesn't work that way?
It doesn't work that way. There's a patch, if you patch.
So the fact that the CVE is from 2017 tells you, I'm trying to kind of run through this. So that tells you as a security person that patch was not done, correct?
In order for the hackers to take advantage of a vulnerability, mm-hmm. it has to be there. If I know that we have this particular vulnerability, it's part of Microsoft, it's part of their SMB protocols built into Windows, I know I have Windows, I have that vulnerability. If I patch, I'm going to get rid of that vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to find the systems that are affected by this. And then I'm going to make sure the patch is applied. Once the patch is applied, we can use various tools to actually see that. Now, for us right now, we don't use a vulnerability scanner. So we're using AutoMox to make sure our systems are patched. So whatever vulnerabilities our systems had before Patch Tuesday, we've applied those patches. And because we've applied those patches, whatever vulnerabilities were there, they're no longer there because we patched. So in this particular situation, you could potentially use something like Nessus, and you could scan for the systems that you think might be affected, or scan all your systems with Nessus. And then you do, like we talked about with the critical security controls. Control number 3 talks about vulnerability management. So you would use Nessus, you would look for the vulnerabilities, you would see that you have CVE 2017-0144, and then you would use something like AutoMox, patch all those systems with the appropriate patch, you would rescan with Nessus, and you would see, hopefully, that you do not have CVE 2017-0144 as one of your vulnerabilities.
So, for me, okay, I agree with you. They didn't do their patching. But the fact that they're not paying the ransom, does that mean that they do have a backup of those systems?
Well, one of the things that I ran into...
Or is that what's going to cost them the $18.2 million to fix?
Well, one of the things that I was listening to, because I hadn't really been paying attention to this particular hack, And then I listened to a podcast recently where they were talking about this and they were going back and forth on the issue with the NSA and their Eternal Blue and how they got stolen. And that's really how the hackers were able to use this thing, is because Eternal Blue, somebody actually hacked the NSA, found Eternal Blue, dumped a bunch of stuff on the internet, which included Eternal Blue. And now the hackers have access to that. They can use that in situations like this, where if it's true that the hackers used Eternal Blue, it gave them an advantage because they didn't have to really make up something on their own. They take Eternal Blue, maybe they do some modifications to it, they use it to hack into the system, and then they can introduce their ransomware and ask for money. So some people say, well, it's the fault of the NSA. And the NSA is saying, well, there's no evidence that Eternal Blue was used here. But even if that's the case, that let's say, for example, Eternal Blue was used in this particular situation, where was the admins for the city of Baltimore, the security professionals for the city of Baltimore? Why weren't they patching? Now, we don't know what system was used in the actual hack, in the original hack. So there's, again, a lot of stuff about this particular situation that we really don't know anything about. We don't know how the hackers actually got in. We're not entirely sure if the city understands how the hackers actually got in. But what we can say is that if this particular story is true and the hackers did use something like Eternal Blue to get in and they took advantage of that vulnerability in SMB, then it could have been patched. They could have done something to prevent the hackers from using that exploit to get into their systems. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that one was the one that they use for WannaCry. That's why it was so familiar to
me.
It was really driving me crazy, you know. It was...
Yeah, and so, you know, this goes back to some of the things that we've been saying before. Proper cyber hygiene, where you're making sure that you're doing things like the first 6 critical security controls. You're checking for vulnerabilities. You're patching those vulnerabilities. And then if you're a smaller organization and you don't have the ability to do true vulnerability management, where you have something like Nessus, Nexpose, and you're scanning your systems for vulnerabilities, at least have some kind of patch management solution in place so that you can make sure your systems are patched and sort of minimize the chance that hackers are going to have access to vulnerabilities on your particular systems. The other thing that's sort of coming out about all of this is that the process of fixing things is taking a bit longer than some expected. And because of some of the things that the city has said, make certain security professionals question whether or not the city of Baltimore actually had a disaster recovery plan of some kind. You know, did they do backups? Do they have a way of recovering from this kind of a situation? Because just because you have a backup doesn't necessarily mean you can recover from this kind of situation.
But one of the things that I was actually remembering from the Eternal Blue, that hack was done in April of 2017. Which tells me that, you know, that's when the patch vulnerability, you know, was there, right?
That's when they discovered the vulnerability in 2017.
Okay.
So Microsoft,
when they discovered it, not when it, okay.
Yeah, but Microsoft has a patch for this thing. So it's
right.
Like, you know, there's a patch out there. Why wouldn't you apply it? Now, there may be reasons why they chose not to apply the patch. We don't know what that is. There may be... I don't know if there is a good reason for not to patch for this particular vulnerability, but there are things that, you know, we have to give the administrators and their security team and the managers of these systems, we kind of have to give them space
the
here
a
little
bit. The benefit of the doubt, too.
Right.
Because we don't know. You're right. We don't know. I mean, I was looking at it thinking, is this, you know, like if you were... the network administrator, the security person in there, and you knew about this vulnerability, you knew Eternal Blue was compromised, what would you do? I mean, would you sit in there and mitigate the risk of that? You know, you can say, okay, I can apply the patches, but the fact that this tool is out there still makes the system vulnerable?
No.
I mean, how would you...
So
I guess I'm trying to understand this.
Yeah, so in this particular case, Eternal Blue is just... the exploit tool that takes advantage of the fact that Microsoft has a vulnerability in the SMB protocol.
Okay, so it's not something that after the patch is done, you still can use it to do something
else.
Yeah,
so once the patch has been applied, mm-hmm. Eternal Blue should not work.
Okay.
So in this case, is what I'm saying, in this case, had the city patched, they may not be in this particular situation because you couldn't use Eternal Blue to take advantage of a flaw in SMB if the flaw is no longer there.
So if you were the security person taking care of the city of Baltimore, what would you do if this happened to you?
Well, that's a good question. In this case, I will tell you this. It's a very big challenge.
I mean,
to
you
try
just cost your employer $18.2 million. Would you resign? Would you,
Some of them did.
Because what happens is now they're going to have to inform everyone on those water utilities, and there's a penalty or a fee or some kind of a thing they will have to pay after informing every single person that was affected.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go down. I don't know what you
have
to do
have
for
so
that
many
kind of
days
thing.
To do that.
But here's the thing. Some of those supposed security experts that worked for the city actually did resign.
Hmm.
But, in terms of the cleanup process, this is going to be huge because when you go and look at your servers, your workstations, the server piece is going to be the hard part. Workstations, you can re-image those, put a brand spanking new image on there. You need to know that it's clean, pristine, there's no viruses in there, you're not putting the malware back onto the system and getting reinfected. But the server side is going to be the challenge because you have to rebuild those from scratch.
You would have to get a brand new server, put everything that you need in there.
Well, you can just wipe the system, rebuild it all, but that's the challenge. That's where things can get time consuming, lots of time and effort has to be put into that. If you have a plan for those kinds of things and you say, okay, what happens if this entire system gets infected? How do I deal with that kind of thing? And that's something that maybe they didn't do. And in some cases, lots of organizations are in situations where they may not have the necessary skills or resources. And it's kind of hard to plan for something like this because now you're saying, well, what happens if my server is burst into flames? That's the kind of thing that we're trying to talk about here. If my server bursts into flames, how do I deal with that? Well, now you have to go buy a new server. You have to rebuild it all. You have to put everything back.
See, and for me, the worry would be this. If you back up your servers, right? How do you know the precise moment when you got infiltrated that you're not backing up the ransomware?
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly
like,
what.
And that takes us back to what we were talking about. Understand how to see if somebody's in your network. Look at your logs.
Well, that's really hard to do. But, in this particular situation, you have to be able to take some backups offline and put them somewhere where nobody ever has access to them because you don't want the ransomware, like you said, to be able to encrypt all your backups or to somehow end up in your backups because there's a good chance.
And re-encrypting the information.
Correct. And so you kind of have to have at least a system at a system level. I snapshot my system. I put that snapshot someplace safe. If something bad happens, I take the snapshot, I put it back, and then we deal with the data piece later on. So there's got to be some process for that. And I want to point out that the things that we're saying here today are us being on the outside looking in.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on and what happened internally. We're just looking at it and trying to figure out if that was us, how would we deal with it?
Right. And so it's easy for us to say how things might work if it happened to us. It's easy to say, well, what about this and what about that? But it's really difficult to deal with situations like this. But one of the things that I just want to make sure people understand is that if all of this is true, then the city of Baltimore had a system someplace that was vulnerable to this SMB vulnerability. And the hackers were able to use that to get in, and then they introduced the Robinhood ransomware. So when we talk about the first six critical security controls, we're not talking about these things because, we don't have anything else to talk about. We're talking about them because
they're important.
They're very important. In this particular case, hackers got in because somebody didn't patch.
And it makes me feel good, when I sit in here and we work on trying to develop this process that we're trying to do. And we put all those hours of work into one little tiny piece. And we sit in there and we wonder, gosh, are we ever going to get done? Are we ever going to have the whole project done to where we can feel that we're getting somewhere? And are we on the right track? When something like this happens, it makes me feel like, okay, I'm glad I'm doing the pre-work. I'm glad I'm preparing for this and putting in the time before something happens, because, you know, just talking about what they're going to have to do to fix this is going to be such an excruciating, painful task. And will you ever be sure that you got everything, you know? So
exactly.
I mean, my heart goes out to them. I feel bad because, you know, IT, it changes really fast. Things that are secure 1 minute, they're insecure the next minute. Patches need to be developed, you know, almost immediately, because, you know, hackers are constantly working on a way to get in. They have the same information that we do, and then they also have the skills to do some of the things that they're doing. You know, they're sitting in there thinking, well, how can I cause havoc or get into this system and do that? And you know, we're playing catch up every time. How do we sit in there and protect ourselves? How can we patch fast enough? How can we come up with a plan, a recovery plan, and a risk assessment that is actually going to kind of minimize all this risk and everything that's going on, you know, because every day they come up with something new. So I feel good we're on the right track. And anytime I feel frustrated, I'm going to remember this.
Yeah. So make sure that you have a patch management solution. Make sure that you are patching your critical systems and then working your way down to the other systems as you get time to do that. And yeah, I mean, like in this case, it's a great example of how patching may have saved the city of Baltimore from getting ransomware on their systems. We're not entirely sure exactly what happened, but if you believe the story as it's coming out now, as the, you know, all the articles online say, then patching would have had some effect on this. It would have been harder for the hackers to get in.
Well, and that's what we talked about on the last episode. You know that.
Yeah.
That, you know, when they run those different bots or whatever, that they're trying to see if the basics work, because somebody, they're not patched, easy to get. You know, if you make it a little harder, they move on to somebody else. So
exactly, exactly. So anything else you want to add?
No.
So I think this is good. We're going to have links in the show notes to some of the articles I was reading online. We'll have links to the Wikipedia page about Eternal Blue. And then I'll try to find something on that Robinhood ransomware. We'll put a link in the show notes for that. And so you can go to snap.section9.us for that. You have any comments, questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.